1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, punch!
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag on
the Geekcast Radio Network.
But what's the other show?
All Things Transformers.
That's right. We're back, finally. Finishing up Autobot Lee August in October.
Autobot Lee October.
Octobot Lee. There we go. It's got spider legs, people. So yes, we are back. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. You are?
Steve Megatron.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is comic book time. The hell was that?
Party Skybound. Time.
Yeah, all right, man. Yes, so we are talking about Marvel Comics, IDW Publishing's reprinting of Marvel Comics, Transformers Classics, the U.S. run. This is volumes 6 and 7 tonight, so we have got a fully loaded night, but as always, we will just give you our half-ass opinions.
Because that's how we roll.
That's right.
Whereas Optimus Prime would say,
Autobots, transform, and roll out.
Autobots, roll out.
So Volume 6, the trade, the collected edition cover from IDW has Blitzwing on it. G1 Blitzwing, very, very cool. In Volume 6, it collects issues 65 through 76, which were published April of 1990 through March of 1991. Wow, there's almost a whole year's worth of comics in here. Holy crap. And as always, for the creative, original series edited, done by Don Daly and Rob Takar, cover art by Guido Guidi on the IDW stuff. Obviously, Bob Budiansky on the writing. Actually, no, not Bob Budiansky. Yeah, it's Simon Furman now. That's right. Yep. I can remember that. Furman is...
It definitely gets a little bit better in some areas and not so much in others. So.
Yeah.
And the art changes.
Pretty much. Yeah, the art changes. Well, because, so that's this crazy.
Andrew Wildman joined with Simon Furman.
Yep. Which they are a great team.
They are. Eventually we'll have to do the return of the G1, you know, issue 81 through 100.
Oh, yeah.
But not today.
Not today, not next year. Who knows if it'll be in 2 years that we do that. It's going to be a while. There's so many other things. We got Skybound's new series, because Skybound Entertainment under Image Comics has the Transformers license now, and Transformers number 1 was pretty damn good.
I'll have to check it out when I can get my hands on it.
Yeah. We'll figure that out. But yeah, I did a Matrix Prime YouTube thing with Jesse for his YouTube channel. So... Because, yeah, the pullback has been in flux lately, and I was just like, yeah, let's just do it on your thing and just make it a part of your thing. So the problem that I have with this trade is that parts 4 and 5 of the Matrix Quest start this off, and by the end of part 3, I just didn't care.
You're like, I've checked out.
Uh-huh. Like, just get the Matrix back to the person it's supposed to be at, and then we'll go from there.
Put it in the Prime.
Yep, not the red truck one. He's dead. Put it in the one true Prime.
No. You and your blasphemy.
Yeah. Hey, at least I'm not a Cryotech fan.
I don't like Cryotech.
I know you, but that's my point. Instead of being a Megatron fan, at least I'm, like, because I'm not an Optimus fan, I'm a Rodimus fan, at least I'm not a Cryotech fan. At least I go with the right Predacon. So, yeah, where do we want to begin with this? Because Matrix Quest.
Well, it starts out with the cover, which looks like aliens and, yeah.
Yeah.
Has Grimlock found the Matrix, or has it found him?
It's found him.
And then it shows Prime's, you know, dead body and the creation Matrix calling to the beasts.
Yeah. It's the call of the primitives. The show did it better.
I'm malfunctioning. Injection is self-activating.
Come, all primitives.
Hey, something's happened to me, too. And it's not on the top 40.
This madness must stop.
Me, Grimlock, must answer call.
Yeah, so they show Thunderwing and various others, which I never cared for the Thunderwing. Like, when I was collecting these, because it was, you know, ages ago, and yeah, these came out in either late 80s, early 90s, something, but I loathed the Matrix Quest. Absolutely hated it. I hated Thunderwing. I didn't like Nightbeat.
Nightbeat's cool. I like Nightbeat. It's not often you have a Cybertron. Okay, outside of Prowl, it's not often you see a Cybertronian cop.
So no, I mean, you get him in. He's more of a detective than a cop.
Well, same thing. You have to come up into the ranks, but yeah.
True, but Prowl was more of a, you know, street cop, and
yep.
Nightbeat was more of your detective, like undercover.
Yep. I will say I do like this art. As much as I don't care about the story for the Matrix Quest, this art is really damn good.
That was something that I enjoyed with Andrew Wildman taking over.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just, I liked the detail. I liked, you know, yes, there were aspects that had just colors. Mm-hmm. There were aspects that had, you know, kind of more emotion in their face, and you'll get to see more of that as this goes.
Yeah, and that's what I like about these last 20 or so issues, is that because the artists constantly are changing, and even though for the most part it's still reliant on the same 5, 6, or 7 colors, it doesn't feel like the earlier issues felt, where it's just like, oh God, same color, story's okay, get rid of the humans, but the story's okay. And now it's almost like a reverse of that, where I don't give a, at least for these first two issues, I don't give a crap about the damn story, but I love the art, because the art's really cool.
One of my favorite moments is, you know, you have Jazz, Bumblebee, and Grimlock, and they're pretenders, and you know, Thunderwing is a pretender, and Grimlock gets fed up, gets out of his armor, and goes,
"Think you tough Decepticon leader? Me, Grimlock, me eat Decepticon leaders for breakfast."
And then he goes, "You amuse me, Grimlock, but that..." He's like, you know, he's like, "Is all," and then throws him, you know, just takes him out.
Yeah.
And then Thunderwing takes out the pretender shells, causing pain to Bumblebee and everybody else.
Yep, absolutely.
Thunderwing is basically sniffing out the Matrix, almost like Nemesis Prime or like Unicronus.
Rodimus Unicronus.
Yeah.
Yep.
It gets really weird. And yeah. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I like that that Prime is kind of involved with this, but he's a Power Master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that they use Power Master Optimus in the comics. I think that's great. That's awesome.
I think if they were going to bring him back in G1, they should have gone that route.
Oh, 100%.
Give him an upgrade. I mean,
Yep.
He's not your same Autobot.
This is Tommy Kennedy reporting for the Autobot City News. I'm here with Paramaster Optimus Prime.
What's all this about, Tommy?
I have to interview someone important for the Autobot City News, and you're the most important person or robot I know.
Okay, what would you like me to tell you?
Tell us the real scoop, the behind-the-scenes super secret story of how you came back from the dead.
Well, it all began in the outer reaches of the galaxy. The Autobots, led by Rodimus Prime, were being chased by the Decepticons.
Instead, they gave him crappy ACOM colors in the rebirth.
I know. I was like, oh, for crying out loud.
Optimus Prime was never that white.
No. and then we get to, you know, the next issue.
Mm-hmm.
Thunderwing punching down. Prime's lights out.
Yep.
And then Unicron.
Yep.
Showing different dimensions and Galvatron in one. And
yeah, that was cool. Showing the different dimensions. That was really cool. And I think that's probably kind of where they got the idea for
War for Cybertron. But
in part of War for Cybertron with Galvatron and the whole time travel thing, maybe it was from here. I don't want to speak for anybody who worked on War for Cybertron.
Now that I'm reading this, it makes perfect mm-hmm. sense where they got it from.
Mm.
Because Galvatron kind of struck out on his own to do his own agenda,
yep.
and undermine Unicron.
Yep.
Even at the point of threatening to destroy his past self.
Yep.
Which even happens in this.
Yeah, it does. And that was the one thing I enjoyed about, and we've already talked about that at length. We're not going to rehash it here, folks, but that was one thing I did enjoy about the War for Cybertron storyline was the whole Galvatron coming back from the past or from the future or whatever the hell, the whole time travel stuff. I really did enjoy that. And plus, it is a classic purple Galvatron, so of course I'm going to enjoy it.
And I love that Starscream comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Starscream comes back and starts creating all kinds of chaos, like always. And Thunderwing, yeah, I could be, and I'm sure I'm going to piss off a lot of Transformers fans. He seems like a poor man's Bludgeon.
Like, he was.
I don't know.
And then they bring Bludgeon again after this point
mm-hmm.
to be a poor man's Thunderwing.
So they're twinsies. Yay. Yeah.
It just, yeah.
Yeah. And I love the end of this issue where there's been enough killing for one day. We surrender and we accept. What a dark day. 10 or more injured, 3 deactivated, and we lost the Matrix. True, Hot Rod, but perhaps not all is as bleak as it has first seemed. We have faced the dark side of our own souls today and triumphed. What happened to the Matrix could happen to any of us.
And then we go into the next issue.
Mm-hmm.
The war is over and the Decepticons have won with Galvatron.
Yep.
I don't know. I like this paint deco of Galvatron.
Yeah, I do too. It's very cool.
He looks very
cool. I like that cover. Yeah, he does. I like that cover. I haven't liked a lot of the covers, but that's a damn good cover.
Well, and that's a testament to Wildman.
Oh, absolutely.
His stuff got really good. A lot of his covers from here on out are really, like, stellar. A lot of the stuff that came before, it's kind of hit or miss. Like, a lot more miss than hit.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff is more hit than miss. So, yeah.
Because the colors are all... They complement... And not that they didn't complement each other before. They really... Like, whatever. It is what it is. We've already hashed it out on all the other episodes of this, but... Like, looking at this first page where you see the sea, you see Galvatron popping up out of the sea, like, from that first panel to the second, third, and those four panels, that's the way you do color in a story like this where you have the sky be a pinkish purple with the grayish, blackish type cloud lines, and then you add the water in, then you add Galvatron in, and it's like, oh, okay, that's cool.
And then this entire issue takes place in the year 2009. Different timeline.
Right, yeah.
Where Galvatron has succeeded, and he's, like, brutally destroyed Rodimus.
Yep.
Like, ripped his head off and gutted him like a fish, and then blew away, Scourge and Cyclonus blew away Cup and Blur. And then you've got old school Prowl and Jazz hanging out.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least Jazz is still around.
Yeah, and Prowl.
Yeah.
Then you have Inferno and Power Glide. And
Power Glide. Doesn't he have some Astoria to go save?
But, Power yeah, Glide. Then you... I it was nice seeing Scourge and Cyclonus.
Yep, that was cool.
And then you have Getaway, who's, you know, in the forest.
Yep.
Among other Autobots and stuff. So, I mean, it was definitely interesting seeing this one because you get a lot of old school Autobots still stuck in the fray.
Yep, that and the Decepticons, too, because there's Laserbeak.
Mm-hmm.
This story I liked. I like the story. I like the art. Again, it's a alternate reality story where, like you said, the Decepticons have won. The Decepticons have taken over. Kind of thing.
And then Jazz gets ripped in half and Spike wins.
Yeah. Poor Jazz. He's always getting ripped in half.
And then it's funny that you get Hook, Line, and Sinker coming for Galvatron.
Yep.
And there's Servants of Unicron.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he pissed him off, so he's going to send his servants after him.
And he says, I served him faithfully. He gave me Earth. Different Unicron.
Oh. Yeah, that's the tricky thing about these multiple universe things. It's different events happen in different ones.
Then the Autobots and the humans take back Cybertron.
Yep. And then next issue, Circuit Breaker, GB Blackrock, Starscream. There's a new side in the Autobot Decepticon War. The human...
Yeah.
Again.
BlackRock was okay. The rest of this crew, I don't like the art for this episode, or this issue.
This issue, yeah.
You get Starscream, and he's kind of dipping in here a little bit. But overall, like, I don't care for this issue at all. Like, whenever the humans showed up in this much capacity, I just was like, barf, please. Like,
yep.
And the savior at the end is Shockwave.
Because that's the only logical choice, right?
He says, why do you bother with petty revenge when together the two of us can rule the Decepticons and then two worlds? Shockwave, but you're dead, aren't you? And then the next issue just looks cool on the cover.
Oh yeah, question mark. Grimlock. Yeah, the Gathering Storm. Dun dun dun. Ravage, Shockwave, and Starscream, Galvatron, Optimus Prime, Grimlock, and the center is the question mark. Yeah, this one was cool.
Well, I mean, you have multiple Autobots, you have multiple Decepticons, you have just crazy odds all over the place.
Yeah, and it all looks great, too. Like, even though Grimlock's face is more blue than what he was colored in the cartoon, like, that, to me, that's Grimlock. I know that that's Grimlock. You know, I can hear Greg Berger coming out of his face. The same thing with Optimus Prime. He's a little bit more red here than I would like. Red, like, the. So that's the thing. Like, you gotta balance the. I don't know. It So it's page 100, where Optimus has the thought, look at them, they laugh, they joke, and though it does my fuel pumps good to see my warriors happy, like, that design, it just, I don't know, like, first of all, his eyes were never red, and second of all, there's not enough definition, and they cut off his ears, his smokestack antennas, or maybe they just moved them to his shoulders, but like, I'm pretty
the smokestacks that you're talking about, those antennas that are on the side of his head.
Yeah.
They're underneath that enclosure around his head.
Oh, okay. Because
he has a special helmet when he's Power Master.
Oh, that, okay, that's right. This is, no wonder he looks so weird. Look, I only remember seeing Power Master Optimus Prime as the toy, and
I
whatever.
Loved Power Master Prime.
100%. He was the coolest, he still is.
And then we get Unicron.
Unicron, answer me!
Yeah, and then, yeah, then they explain, he's like, you speak of a future that may or may not come to pass. Mm-hmm. Unicron, I may or may not become.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, I serve you more, no more, die, ha ha ha. Would you care to reconsider? And then he transforms. Or not transforms, but like electrocutes him.
Yep.
He's like, you will serve me, shut your face. then we get Grimlock trying to resuscitate the Dinobots, and Cup's like, nah. Then Grimlock pulls a silver bolt here. Like, clobbers Cup, knocks him out, and then he, like, stows away all of his Dinobots.
Yeah. Man. Wait, where is he put... What's he putting them into?
It's like a stasis pod.
Okay. For a second there, I thought it was Prime's trailer. Yep.
Then we get Scorponok and Ratbat, two of the different leaders that have been Decepticon leaders here in this comic series. And Starscream.
Yeah.
And Shockwave.
And Ravage.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've all had a turn at leadership, and they all sucked at it.
Yep.
And then, Grimlock stole a shuttle and headed out. Then Nightbeat's on a special assignment from Prime. And then we get a... really weird looking Ratchet Megatron.
Yeah, okay, that's all right.
Because they jumped into a transdimensional portal.
Right.
Right as the Ark was like damaged or destroyed or blown up at a certain point.
Right.
And so it mixed them together in a weird way.
Yeah. I was like looking at this page earlier and I was like, wait a minute, the hell? And then I noticed the chevron. And I noticed the fusion cannon. I was like, oh, it's Mega Ratchet or Ratchetatron or whatever. And I love at the bottom, don't you dare miss the next issue, The Price of Life.
Yeah, this one was kind of creepy a little bit.
The Price of Life?
Well, just, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very monstrous. But again, like, we've come so far from some of this stuff where... And again, this is what I think Simon does well, is, yes, he gave us the Matrix quest, which is fine. It is what it is. But, you know, we get here and we get back to the point of, oh, this is what happened to Megatron and Ratchet. We left them off at some point, and now hopefully here we will find out what's going on with them.
So. Yeah. And then Nightbeat basically mentions how he found them, and then they're damaged, and after they hit Prime, and Cup shot him.
Yep.
then he's just kind of wandering around the Ark aimlessly.
Yeah.
Until.
Yous guys. What are yous guys doing over there?
Until. Sorry.
And then we get to Grimlock. On a dump.
Yep. So, for those that, and I know hopefully a lot of people listening to All Things Transformers and the Pullbag know this already, Simon Furman, huge Dinobot fan.
Oh, yeah.
Huge Dinobot fan.
He gave Grimlock a pretty big arc.
Which is more than fine. I like Grimlock, like I said before.
He gave him a redemptive arc, though, because he was kind of a dirtbag in the beginning of this series. Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, that's Grimlock King. You not tell Grimlock what to do. You not allowed to leave base. We do war crimes.
What a dump.
But now he's more intelligent and he's looking out for his Dinobots first.
Yep. Yeah. So he's talking. Oh, he's talking. That's right. He's on Earth. What a dump. Thought Earth was the pits, but this place got it beat. Me dirty, corroded, tired, and very ticked off. I love this art panel. This art panel of the character for Grimlock is so, he's got the gold sword. He's got, you know, all his colors in the right way that they're supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, he just looks so good.
Looks so good. Absolutely love the art on this page. And on the next page, where we get the top left panel where he's cursing, where'd dumb guide go now? Paid enough for him. Expect good service. Great in profile face, you know, upper torso shot of. And again, colors and shading. Finally, we actually have colors, shading, and definition. If this was Grimlock 40 issues ago, he'd be a yellow blob with no nothing. It is what it is.
And then Cup chews out Prime for surrendering to Scorponok and for allowing the monstrosity to go through and beat the crap out of the Autobots as he goes through.
Yep.
And then Cup's having second thoughts about it, but Prime just goes in and destroys the fusion cannon. And
he does.
Just starts ripping him apart. Yep. And then right as he's about to be merciless, he can't do it. And then Ratchet moves the gun to his head and says, please.
Yep. And this is an interesting commentary, I think. You know, the whole put them out of their misery kind of thing. Because they're both miserable. Like, Megatron and Ratchet are melded together. Their existence is not a happy one. But it also speaks to kind of like, you know, just crimes. Murder should be nothing anyone wants to do at all whatsoever. And Ratchet, if he could have, probably would have found a way himself to basically commit suicide. Which, it is what it is. It's a very heavy thing to, you know, I talk about suicide prevention all the time. I was not expecting that to kind of come up here at all, but it does. And it's, you know, it is what it is. But Optimus, you know, does, you know, like Cup says, would you want to live if you were like that? I can't tell you guys. I've told you about this, and I've told the audience about this, too. About 30 years ago, there were plenty of times in 1994. Well, we're not 30 years ago directly, but we're a few months away from it being 30 years since 1994. There were a couple of times in 94 that I did not want to be where I was, because of life circumstances and everything else, because of the disabilities and all that. So I understand it. Yeah. The next panel. Oh my God. What the hell?
Okay.
Grimlock going surfing?
No. Optimus Prime. Where? Oh, no. This is the panel where he's beating them. Okay. All as I see is Optimus saying, be resolute. And all I can think of is, where's Duke and Cobra Commander when you really need them? Oh, my God. Yeah, so Grimlock goes, Grimlock surfing in the USA. That's, wow, Grimlock.
Well, and then we get Grimlock getting attacked by what looks like some kind of a Sharktacon thing.
Yep.
And then there's this other robot that goes, welcome to the island of spilled tears and the land of crushed illusions and broken promises. And Grimlock goes,
you sure lousy tourist guard.
And then he's like, let me guess, none must feed, right? Me getting the hang of this now. We supposed it would be too much to ask. We don't fight. He says, fight me? Oh, no, I wish to warn you about Nucleon. Yeah, he's like, affects. What will it do to Transformers? And Grimlock's like, don't care, Mega Strong.
Yeah.
He says, they didn't cure me. They brought me back to life so I could die again. And then he's just talking about it with the Nucleon, and then Grimlock's like, you know what? Don't care.
Yeah.
So he tested it on himself.
Yeah. The Nucleon looks like a really, really bad design of T-Bob from Mask. face. Oh, God.
And then Grimlock gets electrified with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Prime with Ratchet, Megatron, might be able to save Ratchet's life. They can separate them.
Yeah.
It's first aid sitting there screwing around with them. Like on a molecular level, they can separate them. One cannot survive without the other. Do you still wish me to proceed with the operation? Do it.
Yep. And I love this. I love this at the bottom. Next month. The issue you thought you'd never see. Heck, we didn't think we'd see it either, and we produced it. Surrender. I love that.
And then the art for the next one's really good.
Yeah, it is. That cover.
The rain and just everything.
And it's so hard to use rain, but it works, and it... I wasn't really bitching earlier about this, but I had mentioned about his red eyes. Here it works. Everywhere else in the comic so far, Optimus having red eyes has not worked for me. On this cover, it works. So where are we starting here? We're starting on Cybertron, home of the Transformers. That's your cue.
Yeah. And then we get the Autobots shooting and fighting, and you get to see Cup in green and Prime without his battle suit.
Yep.
And Prime's not wearing his armor.
Nope.
And then when he gets off the ship... Because, at the beginning, it's showing the beginning of the war where he's like, never surrender.
Uh-huh.
And then he's getting off the ship and he's like, I surrender.
Yes, I surrender.
And then Scorponok's like, I accept. And Cup's refusing to stop.
Yeah, Cup is like, no, we don't surrender. What are you doing, Optimus? Get off your taster.
But, and Prime's trying to... enlighten Scorponok about Unicron and Thunderwing and everything else. And he's like, don't lecture me. I know of Unicron. Bludgeon told me here.
Yeah.
And then you see him take off his head and become
Zarek.
Zarek.
Yeah. And I mean, I get it. It's cool. It's weird, though, because I'm so used to Zarek being this green-faced, green-haired design from the cartoon. Because you got to remember, folks, this is the first time I've ever read this stuff.
Yeah, they made that alien race, instead of green, they're just humanoid.
They're just humanoid, yeah. And that's fine, I get it. You got to simplify for the comic. Oh, the next page. Oh, man. The fourth panel down, all I can see is color forms. We must take command, where it's Shockwave, and it's like magenta, purple, red, yellow, red again, red, lighter red, orange, whatever. I'm like, look, color forms, everybody. You can buy yours today at Benny's. Yeah, we are back to single color for bots now. I don't like that. Like, all these bots that are in these panels, like, I mean, the color form, the multicolor thing is fine, but, like, the next page, like, I can't tell Bumblebee from whomever, and I don't even think Bumblebee's there.
No.
Yeah, like, but they're all, like, either silver and white.
It's all Decepticons.
Yeah, it's all Decepticons, and that's fine, but, like, come on, man. Give them definition. Don't just paint them gold. You can't just paint everything gold. Megatron is a gold member, don't you know?
Then you get Prime hanging out with Soundwave.
Love this.
Locked up.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it.
And then they cut to Galvatron just blowing the crap out of Cybertron.
Yeah, that's not good.
And Emerite Zaron. Was mm-hmm. he in IDW?
Emerite Zaron?
Yeah.
Let me look here.
He's kind of like a guardian, you know, on the planet. And, you know.
You mean Zarek?
No, this is Zaron.
Is he a Decepticon?
Autobot.
Autobot. Let's see here.
This guy is.
I don't recognize the name.
He's kind of like one of the acolytes of Primus.
Yes, and he was. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and then, you know, you got Galvatron with hook, line, and sinker, and they're trying to capture him and kill him.
Okay. In the 2005 IDW continuity, first appearance, Last Stand of the Wreckers, number 2, mention, number 5, cameo, Transformers Volume 1, number 22, full appearance. Advocate Zaron was one of the Autobots' chief legal advisors. Oh, he's a lawyer. Okay. He then went on to be in the 2019 rebooted IDW continuity. He was in Tread and Circuits, number 2. As official consult to the Senate. So, yes, he was in IDW.
Then you get Prime after all of that.
Yep.
And he throws Soundwave into a wall, knocking him unconscious, rips the doors off, and then frees the Autobots.
Yep. And my favorite part about freeing the Autobots is we get to a really, really, really cool. Like, I almost want you to make this the banner art. The hot rod driving in like a wrecking ball with the Transform grabbing Zarek. What, shall we dance? Like, yeah.
Then he's holding him like a stick figure in front of him, like a shield.
Yeah. I love that.
He's
that
like, you know, then he's like, before I pull the arms and legs off this puny flesh creature, I think not.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, not bad.
Yep.
No, sheathe your sword, Bludgeon, now. And then Cup, we're just taking a nap.
Yeah. I will say, on that same page where Hot Rod has Zarek, where Cup says that line, I think this is the first time I've seen his alt mode where it actually looks like his alt mode, like the windshield, the rest. It's not the exact colors from the animation, but it's close enough where it's like, oh, right, Cup. Nice to finally see your alt mode in the right design. So then we get to, let's see here. We get Optimus Prime and Zarek talking. There for a moment, we trusted each other. We must build on that, work together. The Chaos Bringer is real, Zarek. It will not stop until it has destroyed Primus's children, and whatever we call ourselves, we are all Primus's children. Dun dun dun.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I just can't take Zarek seriously looking like a human. Like, I wish he had his robot head on all the time. But he and Optimus finally shake hands, claws, whatever.
Yep, they get to that point where they're like, all right, we're going to team up. And then the other Decepticon Civil War kicked in.
Yep.
Shockwave. And then you see Zaron, sadly, fighting from Galvatron, who looks spectacular in the sewer.
Yeah. I was like, hey, Galvatron, you see any turtles down there?
Tonight I dine on turtle soup.
And the next issue, The Wrath of Galvatron, The Return of the Dinobots, The Coming of Unicron, all this, and Civil War, too. This cover I'm not a fan of.
No, I mean, it's pretty bland.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Wildman did the art in this, but like, man, it feels like we're going backwards. I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forwards.
Going back in time.
Yeah, no. And I guess I should blame Stephen Baskerville and Neil Yamatov more than Wildman, because they were the inkers and colorist, respectively. I need to see who was the... I believe it was them two on the... Yeah, it was those two on the last issue, too. Interesting. So maybe there was another note or something like, hey, change it back to bland-ass colors. At least on this first page. Like, it's a yellow sky... It's a brownish, tannish, dirt-like color with some water around it. I get it. There are, all the bots are in shadow or in whatever. Like, they're not defined, which is fine because it's not a close-up shot, but I hope this is not a... Oh, it is. Hello, Blackface Starscream. How are you today? Hey, technically, his face is bluish, but whatever.
Well, and then we get Scorponok, you know, grabbing Starscream.
Yep.
Going, oh, this is how it is. You want to fight? You've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And Prime is damaged, you know, and the Autobots are damaged. And
yep. And then it has to... be relied upon the ugly humans to save the day. Not really, but... I do love every time Ravage shows up because he's always been... I mean, Ravage's design usually always has black and silver, but I don't mind it with the blackish-bluish with the lighter blue outlines on that page between Zarek and when he goes to attack Zarek. But I like that design on Ravage. I don't think there's any Ravage design I don't like in any iteration.
And Scorponok single-handedly taking out everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then we cut back to Cybertron.
Yep.
With Galvatron doing his "Here's Johnny" line.
Yeah.
Ah, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Finished running? Good. Now you can...
I'll die like an Autobot.
Yep.
I'd wanted you dead. You would long ago have embraced your maker. I simply want to know how to kill Unicron. And then he's like, I'm running out of time. Help me.
Yeah, you want to know how to kill Unicron? Go ask Optimus Prime. He's got a thing in his chest that'll do the job right quick.
Yep.
You know, it's that circle, green circle thing they spent 5 issues looking for. And I will say that as we're going through this issue, even though the background colors are kind of like bland because it's supposed to be daytime, it's supposed to be lighter colors in the background, the character colors, now that it looks much better than I initially thought it was going to. Like anytime we have Shockwave or the close-up on Nightbeat here, when they get to New Jersey, that looks nice. Close up on Shockwave on the next panel where he says, "Hold, something moved, but what?" That would be Scorponok.
And then we cut through to Prime by the end of this one, mm-hmm. stopping Shockwave and Scorponok's battle, only to have the Neo Knights show up.
Yep, the Neo Knights show up. Yeah, the Neo Knights. I mean, I know they're humans, but superhumans,
super fighting robot.
Mega Man.
Yeah, I'd rather have Mega Man.
Yeah, me too. Next up, Unicron's on the last leg of his journey to Cybertron, and that means that it's just about everyone is out of time.
Yep.
Done.
And then the next issue covers kind of lame. Transformers disappearing and the humans standing there. And then you get Galvatron with, like, spit face fire.
Yep. That cover would be so much better if the humans weren't standing there, because it's like, hey, look, we're all Ultra Magnus. Because, you know, he's white repaint of Optimus Prime.
And then we get Zaron standing in front of Primus.
Yep.
With Galvatron standing there. Mm-hmm. And... he's basically pleading, and Galvatron's throwing a tantrum.
Of course Galvatron's throwing a tantrum. He's mental.
And then Unicron is like, Galvatron's gone beyond my sight, beyond my reach. What has he found? What does he plan? I must know.
Yeah. This is not the Galvatron you are looking for.
Yep. And he's like, there's nothing they can do to stop me. And everybody's fighting, and, you know, the humans come in and try and attack. Yeah. And to some level, succeed against Scorponok. Shockwave mm-hmm. just sits down and lets it happen.
Yep.
Until Shockwave shoots Circuit Breaker.
Yeah. Galvatron's always yelling.
Yep. This Galvatron, anyway.
Yep. Well, and the cartoon one, too. I mean, he always yelled because he was crazy. The shot of Galvatron where he says, "The true meaning of power." It looks like the reformatted colors. So when Hasbro loves to do as much with one mold as they can. When they repainted the War for Cybertron Kingdom Galvatron, they did an exclusive reformatted all purple colors, and that's what this reminds me of, because the figure's like sitting right next to me on my desk here. So that's cool. And then Mindwipe? No, it's Mindwipe.
Mindwipe.
Yeah. They're both bats, folks. And it's after 11 p.m. In Manhattan, Optimus Prime is like, because he gets blasted.
By Circuit Breaker.
Yep. Traitorous humans.
Yep. And then she attempts to take out Shockwave.
Yep.
Only to fail.
Oh, yeah. Very much so, thank God.
And then she falls, and Prime and Scorponok call a ceasefire. And then we get to Galvatron back on Cybertron, and Zaron woke up Primus and speaking through him. And Galvatron has managed to break the fourth wall as he calls for Primus to bring his children home.
Yep.
And then they're all being transported without a second thought.
Yeah.
Then we see the Creation Matrix.
Yep.
Leaving Thunderwing.
We are Creation Matrix. We are hungry for revenge. And yep. no next time on this one. Like, there's nothing. There's usually something at the bottom of the, but there's nothing. In the thing, it does say editorial note for 73, page 7, panel 4. This issue marks the first time that the human Hector Dialonzo adopts the code name of Dynamo as a member of the Neo Knights. Page 16, panel 1 through 5, Circuit Breaker recalls the damage that Decepticon Shockwave inflicted upon her human guise as Josie Beller, a flashback that took place in Transformers number 6, The Worst of Two Evils. So, and then we get to the next issue, which is issue 74, and that cover is kind of cool.
It was one of my favorites when I got it as a kid.
Yeah. It's Optimus Prime with multiple Unicrons next to Scorponok. So it's Transformers against the hordes of Unicron. This cover is cool. It is very awesome. But all these Unicrons, it just makes me think of, like, chibi dolls. Like, it's a chibi Unicron or whatever. Because he's supposed to be, like, a planet size, not a transforming. Unicron shouldn't be the same size as Optimus Prime, but I get it for the cover and for the what they're going for.
Well, it's the Acolytes.
Yeah.
So, and then it opens with showing Unicron.
The Void.
Yeah. Yep. And doing a whole history lesson of the Transformers.
Yeah, which is nice, because, again, if you're coming into this new back then in the 90s, then, you know, you go into comic shops, you see the 74th issue, you want to be able to learn the history without having to read the other 73 issues. I think that might be my favorite panel out of this.
The history lesson?
Yeah.
Well, and then you see that Primus learned how to trick Unicron by shoving their life essences into barren metal asteroids. And then Unicron figured out how to morph his, and so did Primus. But I find it funny, Primus looks like Rodimus.
Yes, he does. The prodigal son returns.
Well, Rodimus was the last Prime.
That's right. Oh, that's... Wait, that's a short issue. Oh, maybe it isn't. Okay. I don't know. I'm cycling through this, and I'm like, oh, very cool, very cool. Like that, like that. Wait a minute, what's that? And then the next thing I know, we get Unicron himself, and then poof, gone.
Yeah, I like the scene that it opens up with, there are you, they are the Transformers. And then you see, like, all of them in their various disrepair, you know, as he's speaking through Zaron. And then you see one of those Acolytes worming his way off like angry Autobot, and then Grimlock has all of his Dinobots back online, and then he's like, ah, my hand's locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pump Nucleon into every stasis pod, including Ratchet and Megatron.
Oh boy, that can't be good.
Nope. And then the human, when Zaron leaves, he's like, ah, it seems like your god isn't interested in us mere mortals. It would seem not.
Yeah.
And then you see the acolytes, you know, underneath putting on helmets of Unicron. Death to Optimus Prime.
I agree.
Scorponok and Prime have a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm going to die, I'd prefer not to, but I will do it by your side. And then they all start cutting down the acolytes. Scorponok wonders, you know, oh, they're not attacking me. They're attacking Prime. Then he's like, well, I could let him die, but and he's like, no, I want to take him out. And then one of them's about to bomb Optimus Prime.
Yep.
And Galvatron sneaks up and shoves the grenade down his throat.
Yep.
And then blows his head off. And then sets the warning beacon for Unicron.
Yep.
And then Thunderwing wakes up with the Matrix.
Of course he does.
Yeah. And all the Transformers are just fighting back and forth.
Yep.
Until Zaron shows up. And then at the end, the last panel, we have Unicron.
Yep.
Hungry and more sinister looking than he was in the movie.
I mean, you're talking about the page where it says, did you miss that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only design of the character in this comic that is closely to what the movie design ended up being, as far as like the sides of his chest, the arms, the fingers, the things on his stomach, the head, not so much because he's got more of the Megatron helmet on than anything else, the Megatron comic helmet. But as we get into the next issue, I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh my God, there's so many versions of Unicron they're using because, on the edge of extinction, that panel, that opening panel here, like, that's not the same Unicron we saw earlier, but it looks cool. And then they kind of went more with the original toy design, that the toy that never happened.
Pretty much.
On page 239, where he says, and these bonds cannot hold me, like, literally... The shape of it is the what the old toy was going to be, which I think Super 7 put one of those out or something like that recently. I could be wrong.
Possibly.
Yeah, Super 7 does a lot of weird things.
And then he blows up Zaron.
Mm-hmm.
And Galvatron sees... his opportunity.
Yep. And he goes to seize it.
Powers himself up.
Yep.
Tapping energy from Cybertron. Yep. Die, monster, die. What? SWAT.
Yeah.
Insignificant worm.
Yep.
And just chucks him through some stuff.
Yep.
He's like, if you won't even provide me with a bit of sport, I shall have to simply destroy. And then he's like, as everybody starts taking him out with cannons.
Yep.
And everybody starts firing off at him, like everything.
This whole panel reminds me, and this is so funny, it reminds me of the A-Team movie from 2010 at one point when they're falling out of the plane. They end up in this tank, and Hannibal, played by Liam Neeson, is like, you know, turn the turret to blah, 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 and wait. And then we get to a certain point, and then he's like, fire everything! That's what this is.
Then you have all the youngsters making noise.
Oh my God, this page, man. Like... Come on, Hot Rod, yeehaw, or yeah, or what a yeah.
Well, you had Nightbeat going loud, brash, and totally brain dead. Think Primus Cybertron's one of a yeehaw. Blasted youth.
Yep. Blasted youth. Yep. That's hilarious. Then Unicron's back, and we got fighters fighting him, and... I will say Unicron on page 247, the top panel there, where
He says, yes, this is more like it. Again, it's very close to what the movie design would end up being like, but it's not exactly there. But I still like the design on that panel. That looks really good.
I think it's funny that Scorponok starts cutting away at his ankle.
Yeah.
Until he breathes fire on him.
Yep.
And then Grimlock whacks the arc on Unicron's face. Does a drive-by.
Yeah, pretty much. That's hilarious.
And I think it's funny, Prowl's like, the time since our last meeting hasn't increased your capacity for sound tactical analysis, has it, Grimlock? You not changed either, Prowl. Still think you hot stuff. Think you always know right thing to do. You think you leader, you not. You soldier, so go fight. It kicks him out the door. He's like, Grimlock, was that wise? I mean, we've all just come out of a state close to death, reanimated by an untested and highly unstable form of energy. Perhaps we should what? Have holiday? Put feet up? And then they all jump out.
Yeah, Grimlock has the best lines in this issue.
then you see Scorponok dying.
Yep.
Like his body burned to a crisp. Than Prime mourning him.
I'm really digging the story now. I'm loving the art for this issue. It's so fun. And I never thought I'd say that about this series, but I've said it a few times.
And then the Creation Matrix shows up. Starts sucking like the energy force out of Unicron.
Yep. Which is not exactly the most elegant way to destroy him, but it's what they had to do in the comics. I think it's much...
like, no, I felt the Matrix destroyed. I sensed the demise of its purity. This cannot be.
Mm-hmm. And then he transforms and tries to go feast. God, Unicron. And Circuit Breaker, I'll kill them all, every single one of them, I swear, they'll pay for this. If you're going to do something, Prime, do it now and make it count. All the progress I'd made towards curing Circuit Breaker is gone. I bought you this chance with her sanity. I don't know how... that just... Oof. You don't want to sell somebody sanity, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not good. And, of course, the whole thing at the end of it is that goodness will prevail, Primus. And we get a depowered Circuit Breaker. We get basically the destruction of Unicron. Comic over. That's it. Wait 40 years.
Yep. Oh. And then Prime opens it up and he's like, you must die, Primus, so that all might live. And then Unicron cries, too much, too much, too much, and then goes boom.
Yep. But life goes on, and the story of the Transformers is far from told.
Yeah, I never had issue 75. That was one of the few that I was missing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, that was a great issue.
It was. Yeah, I went from 73 to 76.
Ooh, that's
74 to 76. I was like, rough. I'm missing 75, man, and then I never got 80.
Oh, no.
So, like, I had to read them in the trades, like, later. I was like, crap, man. I was missing, like, I think 8 issues out of the whole series.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, overall, not terrible.
No, and I wish that this collected edition trade that we have from IDW Publishing, I wish this stopped at 75 and 76 through 78 were in... Or 76 through 80 were in the next volume, because just looking at the cover to 76, I don't care. 75 was so amazing. I don't care about 76 and Grimlock and these weird looking demons. And I tell you, there's something moving out here. Well, it's sure not me, the Big Freeze.
You like that Prime went from fully functional in the top left panel above the issue number to what remains of him after the Creation Matrix?
Yes. That's awesome. That is so cool. So, did you see the bottom left part of the cover with the water pail and the screws and the nuts and the bolts?
Yep.
Are they trying to say that they have a screw loose? Because I don't get that one. Oh, well, technically it would be the Marvel. Oh, but this is still Marvel.
Yep.
That technically should be the Spidey watermark. Or whatever hero they want to put. That's interesting.
They had fun with a lot of these issues doing this. If you go back and look at any of them, they were doing this whole time.
Yeah, I got to go back and look at it because I didn't catch that. Huh, interesting. Yeah, overall, Volume 6, I dug it. I thought it was fun.
You see Prime dead there and this issue and laying there as a ripped apart carcass.
Yeah, it's it gives Dark Awakening. Gives Dark Awakening a run for its money.
Mm-hmm. Inherits Prime's memory.
Oh wow, that's cool.
As a he's like, it's starting the change. Can't stop now. Got to keep block it out. Keep moving.
Yep.
He says, it's not even just my life at stake. Prime never realized, neither of us did. But then how could anyone have known what binary bonding, Nebulon, and Transformers as a Power Master would eventually lead to?
Yep.
I mean, little by little, and then they're all arguing who gets to lead, and Grimlock's having issues, and
I love, man. Other than the panel where we first see Ratchet and Grimlock, because Grimlock in the close-ups of that panel just looks, his visor looks weird to me, because it's a whatever doing thing, but man, you get to almost the last page, page 283, where Grimlock is standing there, again, very Grimlock colors. He's got the gold chest. He's got the blackish, bluish helmet with the red eyes. Very, very cool. A nucleon, it's accelerated my own metamorphosis, but if it happened without Prime. Oh, Lord. Shut up, IQ. You got some low Q, IQ.
No, because there's about to be a transformation.
That's true.
But Grimlock has new powers, but he can't transform.
Oh, yeah.
He lost his transformation.
Yep. Dang. And IQ, I am Optimus Prime. It has an exclamation point here, but it looks like a question mark, even though it is an exclamation point. Yeah, overall, I dug this trade. There wasn't many, I complained a little bit about the art, but generally, I really did dig this.
Yeah, this one I enjoyed.
Yep. All right, folks, I think we're going to go to a quick ad break. We're going to come back with issues 77 through 80. Now, that is the end of the Marvel run for now, but that is only half of what is in Volume 7, Transformers Classics Volume 7 from IDW. Because the rest of it is the Transformers the movie adaptation, and then I think is also Headmasters in there. Those will be two separate crossover episodes between three shows, The Pullbag, All Things Transformers, and the TFG1 Podcast.
See, the Transformers the movie one here that's in the original Marvel run, I honestly would skip it because IDW did one later.
One later, that's much better. Yeah,
that's much better.
Yeah, I think we covered that on the Pullbag.
I think we did too.
I'm pretty sure we've already covered it, but, you know, maybe we'll skip it. Who knows? We'll be right back right after this.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast.
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to the Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com. At iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
All right, we are back here inside the Pullbag, only on All Things Transformers here at the Geekcast Radio Network. And it is time for Transformers Classics Volume 7 from IDW Publishing, which does collect Transformers The Marvel Years from issue 77 to 80, which was the final issue. It also collects the four-issue Headmaster miniseries and, as we said, the Transformers the Movie adaptation. As I just mentioned a moment ago, we are only finishing up issue 77 through 80 in this podcast episode. Issue 77, it's Ratchet and Bludgeon, or is that Thunder whatever?
I think it's Bludgeon?
Yeah, it looks like Bludgeon to me, too. And Exodus, Transformers, one race of sentient mechanoids ever divided into two warring factions, Heroic Autobot and Evil Decepticon, able to transform their bodies into likenesses of vehicles, machinery, and weapons. These proud warriors have fulfilled their destiny, battling and defeating a malignant force from beyond time, but their victory is not without cost, and the aftershocks continue to ripple. Dum, dum, dum. I love the symbols on the mountain. That's cool.
And then the entire government.
Yeah.
And then there's a part where Mindwipe is kind of getting a little feisty, and Grimlock chucks an oil barrel at his head. He says, he's like, "Dumb Con, shut up and we tell you." And then he's like, oh, I'll kill you, Grimlock. Rip your, tear your, nope. You will sit back down. Oh, it's Fangry. You will listen. And then he's got another one in his hand, and Prowl's like, don't even think about it, Grimlock.
Yep. Yeah, it's Fangry. It's not Mind Wipe. Because if it was Mind Wipe, he would just, you know, control Grimlock's brain. But Grimlock's brain, it's not a nice place to be.
Nope.
Oh, man. And yes, that is definitely Bludgeon. That is not Thunderwing. And Bludgeon says, I demand you tell us exactly what you're planning, what we can expect of this alliance. We want assurances, and we want them now. Oh, boy. Right there, Bludgeon. And then we get to more human Autobot stuff.
Yeah.
I understand why humans have to be in the Transformers, folks. I just don't like it in this comic book series. Because they all suck. Other than maybe one or two times Spike did some cool stuff, all of the humans in these comics suck.
I do like the part that, you know, we get to the glass being kicked.
Yeah.
You see Fangry getting tossed outside, and they're like, what? And then you see Grimlock walking. Mm-hmm. You know, you're obviously too dumb to know when just to shut up and obey orders. Attacking me like that, don't you listen? We at peace. And then, a peace? He's like, a peace is all that'll be left of you when I'm finished for daring to strike me. You know, and then Bludgeon's like, all right, well, I'm going to let this go. And then it cuts to the arc with Starscream and Shockwave walking by and Megatron puncturing his arm through.
Yep.
And then Grimlock getting tossed against a wall and Fangry shooting him. And he just keeps going, like walking right towards him.
Yep.
And he's like, you're like all cons, Fangry. Full of self. He's like, and a lot of hot air.
Yep.
Like, no, you can't. You can't. And then he just punches him right in the mouth.
He just punched him right in the mouth. Oh, God. Grimlock, you are awesome. And then the way this issue ends, we get something I never thought we would see.
Megatron versus Galvatron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love the shocked look on their faces. It's...
Megatron was more of blind anger. And Galvatron is more of shock.
Yeah. But I'm looking at these faces... They're not the exact same, but they're damn... Oh, I know what it is. It's the color reverse.
Yep.
Galvatron has the blue helmet with the brown face. Megatron has the blue face with the brown helmet. That's cool. I like that. That's awesome. All right. Issue 78. Transformers past and futures collide as Galvatron battles Megatron. I wish they were still the same guy. But I get it. The second page of this issue, that is a really cool shot of Galvatron on the right. After he's changed from being Megatron into Galvatron, that's cool. Where he's holding his cannon.
Oh, yeah.
That is so cool.
And then he just starts, like, punching him right in the mouth.
Punching him right in the mouth.
It's like, it is the year 1991.
Yep.
He says, break myself by destroying Megatron. Like, dude, you'd stop existing, too.
Yeah, don't you know? Didn't Doc Brown teach you anything, Galvatron? You can't go back in time and change the past or the future or whatever. Savage circle that leads only to madness and death. That's an awesome page.
Then we get, after, you know, the scene of Megatron and Galvatron pummeling each other.
Yep.
We get Shockwave and Starscream. Then it cuts back to more of the Cybertronian stuff and Bludgeon heading towards like their little war worlds. Ratchet waking up.
Hey, at least Ratchet is, you know, alive and in his own body and not a part of Megatron anymore.
And then Starscream sees Megatron on the floor when Galvatron goes to hide. They may actually have to keep him alive.
Yeah.
He goes, no, not him, not Megatron. Mighty Megatron, it's so good to see you again. You know, and then they're just, and he's like, oh, it's Shockwave. And then Ratchet's going through a crisis too until Starscream gets him awoken.
Yep. Yeah, that is awesome. I love the panels with Ratchet. No! I love that. That is so cool.
Then we get back to the humans.
Ugh. Snooze fest.
And then we go back to Shockwave trying to kill Megatron.
Yep.
And then Ratchet beating the crap out of Starscream.
He deserved it.
And then you get Galvatron finally taking out Shockwave.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's cool. Together we could rule the galaxy. It is my destiny.
And it's funny, too, because, you know, they just start both beating on Shockwave.
Yep. And, yeah, it ends on the next few panels, and next month, the last Autobot.
And Ratchet blows up the Ark with Nucleon, crash-landing it back on Earth again to start the cycle all over.
Yep.
Which kind of comes into play in G2.
That's cool.
This whole last Autobot thing, like 79 and 80, I didn't have. Is it like when I was getting those? And so I never knew the conclusion of the story for the longest time. Well, I was like, well, this is crap.
Well, we will find out tonight. Is that Spike or is that Buster?
I think it's supposed to be Buster.
Yeah, because Spike has brown or dark hair. Buster always had the blonde hair.
But it's, well, this is Spike.
Is it real? Yeah. He's got an S. Oh, yeah. Mm, okay. Huh. Why? Why has no one come? Is it true what the authorities have been claiming? Have they really all left Earth? Am I the last Autobot? Oh, boy.
He's literally heading to Fortress Maximus.
Yeah. Well, he and Fort Max have that connection thing, so.
Yep. Yeah, they get taken out in G2.
And then we have so much human. Ugh, the people. Get the people away from my eyes, please.
And then you get Prime in Haikyuu's body now that the bond is over.
Oh, God.
And it's like it's merges together, the parts becoming one whole, but when I die, the only way the process could complete itself was in Haikyuu's body. I'm the leader of the Autobots, and I'm trapped in this tiny body. Yeah, you know right.
You know what it reminds me of?
Hmm.
When a certain purple dinosaur got his spark removed, and it ended up in a drone.
Yeah, among other creatures.
Okay, yes, but like, hello, from going from being Optimus Prime, giant red truck leader of the Autobots, to Optimus Prime, Haikyuu Minicon. Like, come on.
Then you go through a bunch of other stuff with Bludgeon and his crew, and then you finally get Spike putting on the armor to become Fort Max.
Yep, absolutely. And then we get Galvatron
getting in a fight with Fort Max.
Yep.
I kind of wish Fort Max and Scorponok were bigger.
Yeah, I get it. It's a comic book. You need to whatever. But, like, man, Fort Max and Scorponok should not be the same size as the rest of the Transformers. Just like Bumblebee should not be the same size as Optimus Prime or anybody kind of thing. Like, yeah, like, come on, people. Use that mass shifting to your, you know, positive sides.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're beating on each other and... then Spike finally gets enough control to start shooting and taking up Galvatron.
Yep.
Till he knocks Galvatron out and into the ice.
Yep.
Which actually happened in the Headmasters cartoon.
That's cool.
The Headmasters actually trapped Galvatron in ice. And there he stayed.
That is very cool.
But, yeah, he's like, you're history. And then he goes back, you know, there's the last page where the Autobots, or the last Autobot is with the humans.
Yep.
And you're like, all good things.
All good things must come to an end.
And then it's funny because the last issue says number 80 in a 4-issue limited series.
Yeah.
Kind of playing a joke on the fact it was supposed to be a 4-issue limited series.
Yeah.
Because that's what it said in the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's like the epic conclusion. And then you get away being targeted before being destroyed by the Decepticons.
The end of the road. Which road? The low road? Nobody's farting around here.
Then you get, you know, the Autobots doing their thing.
Yep.
And everybody's back to fighting. More humans.
More humans.
And then out of nowhere, there's a the last Autobot in Prime is dropping down.
Mm-hmm.
Decepticons, consider your reign of terror over. And then everybody's like, no, it can't be. It can. Uh-huh. It is. Optimus Prime is back.
And this reminds me so much of Season 3, The Return of Optimus Prime, Part 2, when Skylynx is like, can it be? Our leader is back? Yes, Skylynx, I'm back, and no force in the universe is going to stop me.
And I think it's funny when Prime, he's like, where the last Autobot is concerned, even death, it would appear, is an abstract concept.
Mm-hmm.
Last Autobot. One on Cybertron is a last Autobot.
Yeah.
And then Prime explains it all, and he's got the Autobot symbol right on his face.
Yeah, he does.
He's like, I've slumbered, you know. Yeah, it shows him converting Alpha Q into Cybertronian, and then he starts grafting, like, in a weird way, like, starts putting real Cybertronians, like, exoskeleton over him.
Yeah.
You know, recreating him, and made them one, and then all of a sudden the Prime armor starts going over top of him.
Yo, that's cool. That is so cool.
And then Prime's just taking out the Decepticons with the, the fight. Without even, like, so much as breaking a sweat.
And Bludgeon's like, hear me, Autobots, we are destroyed, whipped like curs. We have failed, and in that failure chained ourselves beyond redemption. We leave you now to begin the solitary exile that honor demands. Farewell, Autobots, I salute you. It's over? It's really over? Yes, it's really over. And Optimus Prime's final words? You are in error, Prowl. Cybertron was not destroying itself. The final bathing of the Matrix power after Unicron's destruction began a planet-wide recreation guided by the last Autobot's power. That process is now complete. Cybertron is reborn. We will help the Klosians rebuild, take Neonites back to Earth, and then, my brave warriors, finally we can go home. The end.
That was like a quick wrap-up.
Yeah. And I love the bottom here, and under the end. Brought to you by brought to you with Lumps in Our Throats by Simon Furman writer, Andrew Wildman penciler, Stephen Baskerville inker, Rick Parker letterer, Neil Yamatov colorist, Rob Tokar editor, and Tom DeFalco editor-in-chief for Marvel Comics. The end. Overall, my favorite issues of the series
are the last like 10.
Yeah, pretty much. We should have started there. I mean, if you go back and listen to some of the other episodes we recently did this year, folks, there were certain parts of those that I liked, but there were also plenty more parts than more negatives than positives for me. But once we got past the Matrix Quest, Simon Furman, great. Dinobots, great. Shockwave, great. I'm not the biggest fan of Thunderwing or Bludgeon. That's fine. Whatever. Galvatron versus Megatron, great. Hey, wait a minute. I'm you. You're me. What are you doing here? You know, that's awesome. I love that. I think that's awesome. The stuff with Optimus Prime and the Power Master, the little whole switching of the body, you know, the whole Freaky Friday High Q is Optimus Prime, Optimus Prime is High Q kind of thing. That was a little weird, but other than that, overall, at the end of the day, I walked away enjoying the end of the series. Who knew it could happen? Any final thoughts from you, sir, before I kick it to a break?
I don't think so.
All right, folks. Well, that's going to do it for us. Like I said, you're going to hear some more ads and other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman, and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
We are back here on All Things Transformers Inside the Pull Bag. Oh boy. Well then. We're going to have to start planning for Autobotly April and August next year because I am wiped out with other than the new one from Skybound, I am wiped out with covering old Transformers comics. As much as I love that ending, I just... Wow. Just wow. In the end, I'm glad I finally read it all as far as the Marvel US run. I know there was a smattering of the UK run in there, but at the end of the day, I still prefer the cartoon over the original comic, but that's just me. This whole back half, this final 10 or whatever it is, 15, I'd probably give it a 4.5 out of 5.
I would definitely agree.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, folks, you can find us on all kinds of social media from X to Facebook to whatever. All things TFV3, the Pullbag, Geekcast Radio. I'm TFG and Mike, you are?
Steve Megatron.
And join us next time when we will be transforming and jumping inside the pull bag with something. I have no idea what's coming up on All Things Transformers. Steve and I will have to discuss that, I'm sure, at least one new news episode. And other than that, we got to figure out the next big kind of coverage thing we're going to be doing. The pull bag, I'm probably going to spend the holidays rejiggering the whole schedule and making it more feasible. So that's what's coming up. Would you like to give us some closing lines, sir?
No. I love it throwing you a curveball.
For now, I'm TFG and Mike with The Idiot, and we will catch you next time on this podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network.
No.
Yes.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.